Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about convictions. Our story is from Charisse Frazier of News1.com and is entitled, Fulton County DA Reverses Course, Seeks Ultimate Penalty Against Spa Shooting Suspect. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Wallace will seek the death penalty against Robert Aaron Long, the Atlanta spa shooter who killed 8 people, 6 of whom were Asian women, during a shooting rampage on March 16th. The decision brought attention to Wallace's stance on the death penalty, which has significantly shifted from the time she launched her campaign to her time in office. Prior to assuming the role, Willis said that she opposed capital punishment, citing that out of the murder cases she formerly prosecuted, none were appropriate for the death penalty. I cannot foresee a case in which I would seek death, as I believe that life without parole is an appropriate remedy, Willis previously stated. In addition to the death penalty, Willis will also pursue hate crime charges, affirming what many believe, that Long targeted Asian women in an act of hate and misogyny in spite of law enforcement officials who stated otherwise. It marks the first time hate crime charges will be pursued in the county. In July of last year, Georgia's hate crime statute went into effect after outrage over the senseless killing of Ahmaud Arbery. It allows additional penalties to be imposed for certain crimes when motivated by a victim's race, color, religion, national origin, sex, sexual orientation, gender, or disability. It also mandates the collection and reporting of data on hate crimes investigated by law enforcement, according to the Associated Press. Willis addressed her critics during a Tuesday press conference. Last year, I told voters of Fulton County that I could not imagine a circumstance where I would seek it. And at that time, I did not, she said. Ultimately, a case has risen in the first few months of my term that I believe warrants the ultimate penalty, and we shall seek it. I have personally reviewed the statement in this case. I have personally walked the crime scene in these cases along with Chief Senior ADA. I have spent more than 6 hours with the families involved in this case. We have reviewed the evidence, and I am comfortable in the decision that this is an appropriate sentence to seek. Because Long crossed county lines during the shooting rampage, he faces 4 counts of murder, aggravated assault, domestic terrorism, and possession of a weapon during the commission of a felony in Fulton County. In Cherokee County, Long was also indicted on 4 counts of murder, criminal attempt to commit murder, aggravated assault, aggravated battery, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony, and criminal damage to property in the first degree. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, only one person has been sentenced to death in the state over the last 7 years. In 2019, a woman named Tiffany Moss was sentenced to death for starving her 10-year-old stepdaughter to death and attempting to burn her remains inside of a trash can. Moss represented herself, citing that it was God's will to go alone in the trial. If Long is convicted of the felony charges under the hate crime statute, a judge could impose 2 additional years for a felony and up to $5,000. So, when I first heard about this story, I was a bit annoyed. And then, the more I looked into the Fulton County DA's statements about this case, the more annoyed I became. Not because I think seeking the death penalty in this case is unwarranted. Indeed, I think that if the state of Georgia were not to seek the death penalty in this case, it would be a miscarriage of justice. So that's not my problem. And frankly, my problem isn't really even the fact that she's reversed course. People are allowed to do that. We're allowed to change our minds. Indeed, the Bible commands us to change our minds about things quite literally, since the Greek word for repent, metanoeo, means to change your mind. Changing minds is a good thing. In fact, a huge part of what pastors do is to try to change people's minds. I'm glad people change their minds. And I, even as brilliant and dashingly, mysteriously, irresistibly handsome as I am, sometimes I have to change my mind. But the thing is that I don't really think that Miss Willis actually did change her mind. I don't think she's in good faith. In fact, I think she's in very bad faith here. Let's take a look at some of her words. Last year, I told the voters of Fulton County that I could not imagine a circumstance where I would seek it. And at that time, I did not, she said. Unfortunately, a case has risen in the first few months of my term that I believe warrants the ultimate penalty, and we shall seek it. Hold on. Okay, seriously, hold on. She said, and she's quoting herself on a flip-flop. This is her description of herself, so presumably she's giving us an accurate rendition of her own thought processes and what she said. She said that she could not imagine a case before she was DA where she would envision herself seeking the death penalty. She couldn't imagine it. I mean, either she's lying, has a tenuous grasp of the English language, or has the worst imagination of anyone in history. Seriously, think about that. She said she couldn't imagine a case that would warrant the death penalty. And then, hey, What do you know? One pops up not even a full year into her term. And what is this case? Is this a rare and extremely unique case with a unique set of circumstances? No. Because if we were to judge by media attention, particularly on the political left, which is pert near all media attention, we would draw the conclusion that young white male active shooters kill an average of several million people a year in this country. Remember, it's these angry young white men who are causing us to want to ban assault weapons. I mean, a simple internet search for angry white men guns yields 56 million hits. Now, never mind that according to the Gun Violence Archive, in 2019 there were fewer than 500 people killed in fewer than 500 mass shootings where there were four or more people killed and injured. Whether the location is public or private, and regardless of the motivation of the shooter. Regardless of the fact that if we limit the study to shooters in public places with the motivation to kill at random with three or more people killed, there were only 10 such shootings in 2019, with 73 casualties, according to Mother Jones. The fact is that mass shootings dominate the news, and while they are awful, they are, thank God, relatively rare. But they aren't unheard of. In fact, my point is that they're not only unheard of, they are disproportionately heard of. In fact, in Georgia alone, there were 8 mass shootings between 2014 and 2016, according to an old Atlanta Journal-Constitution article. And there have been more since then. So the thing is that if Miss Willis could not imagine, her words, not mine, could not imagine a crime that would warrant the death penalty, and she immediately flip-flops on a mass shooting, then does she have any business being a prosecutor? Again, I'm not saying that mass shootings are an everyday occurrence. Thank God they aren't. At least angry young white man with a gun mass shootings aren't a daily occurrence. Gangland crime is, but we'll talk about that another day. These shootings aren't an everyday occurrence. But is Miss Willis saying she literally was not imagining that a mass shooting might be a crime she'd be called upon to prosecute? When, you know, Atlanta has them? If that's the case, then she is grossly incompetent and should be recalled. Except here's the thing. While she may be grossly incompetent, I don't think she was unable to imagine a mass shooting. I think she's a liar. And I think she's a race-baiting, politicking liar. Which, incidentally, are pretty much all politicians these days, but that's neither here nor there. Why do I call her a race-baiting liar? Well, she's a liar because she's flip-flopping, because she sees this case as a way either to look both tough on crime and play to her base, which is going to be in Atlanta, largely black, and are going to want a tough penalty for what Miss Willis is going to call a hate crime, or she has had the strangest change of opinion in history. Except from all available evidence, she hasn't really changed her mind, because she's not talking about doing more cases where they seek the death penalty. And from all available evidence, this wasn't a hate crime. This was an evil and depraved crime. It was a crime from someone who objectified women. This was born out of sexual and religious frustration and shame. But that's not the same as saying the killer killed those people because he hated Asian people, which, by the way, classifying Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, Vietnamese, Laotian, Cambodian, Mongolian, Filipino, and other groups as Asian is lazy and meaningless. Come up with a better word than Asian. But anyways, because, you know, like, Russians are Asians too, but again, I digress. It's just hard not to point out all the racism of the anti-racists, but again, back to my point. The killer was motivated by sexual deviancy, religious rage, self-loathing, shame, and evil. But not racism. There's no evidence of that. He confessed and gave his motives. And his motives had nothing to do with race. Yet, Miss Willis is bringing hate crime charges against him. And then she has the nerve to make this comment, which Reuters reports. Lady Justice in this community is blind, Willis told a news conference after her court filing. It does not matter your ethnicity. It does not matter the side of the tracks you came from. It does not matter your wealth. You will be treated as an individual with value. Wait, justice is blind? But justice is also going to be very careful to assess your skin color to see if you fall into that extra special bad category of evil, disgusting, depraved murderers. I mean, Miss Willis went on to say, again, I'm quoting from the Reuters article, death penalty cases are never easy. This is a long journey, and so the biggest hurdle will just be having stamina. But some journeys are worth taking, Willis said, adding that she came to the decision after spending time with the families of the victims and reviewing the evidence. So she spends time with the families, and then decides that this guy should be charged with something that seems to have nothing to do with his crime, and for which there is no evidence, at least none that I'm aware of, to substantiate the claim that he was motivated by racial animus. Do the families of all murdered people get this treatment from Miss Willis, or only the families of victims in high-profile cases that fit a politico-journalistic narrative that can help her run for Georgia DA or maybe a higher position someday. And I mean, all that would be bad enough. It would be bad enough as is. But then she has the audacity to claim that what she cares about is blind justice. But she doesn't. She clearly doesn't. She clearly is prosecuting cases not based upon an objective standard or even a consistent standard of justice, but based upon either her own private hates, whims, and prejudices, or based on a broader racial political narrative. And you know that those are the options because she clearly never envisioned seeking the death penalty against black men who commit murders and home invasions and rapes and who torture people. According to the AtlantaPD.org, who makes their stats very easy to obtain, so good job them. But according to their weekly COBRA reports, in 2020, there were 154 murders. Not one of them warranted the death penalty. Not one of those families deserves this kind of justice. What about when the victim is raped and murdered? Does that warrant the death penalty? What about when it's a child? Nope, not to Miss Willis. Those families' pain and need for justice doesn't warrant the death penalty. But this one specific crime does, which ought to tell you all that you need to know about Miss Willis. She thinks that racism, even when it doesn't seem to exist, is the worst crime imaginable. And brothers and sisters, this is what our society has done. We have become so godless, and our morality is so paltry, and our ethics are so anemic, that we have no category for anything truly evil apart from racism. Racism has become the worst of all possible evils. And not only is it the worst, but all other evils can be explained away as being byproducts of racism. A black man murders a black man. It's because of racism. A black man murders a black woman. You know what the real cause is? You guessed it. Racism. Systemic racism is the cause of all evils. A black man rapes and murders a child. These crimes do happen. But Miss Willis can't imagine seeking the death penalty in that case. She can't imagine it. Why not? Because she can understand that a black man who raped and murdered a child did so because he was negatively impacted by systemic racism. See, when you foolishly and deludedly believe that the problem is not the sinful flesh, that all people, no matter what color or sex inherit, but that the problem is systemic white racism, you will live in a way that follows your beliefs. You will live that out. You will live out that foolish and deluded belief. Friends, of all the reasons to reject the religion of wokeism and learn about this poison to protect your church from it, one of the best reasons is because wokeism poisons the Christian view of ethics. Wokeism sees all sin and all evil and all failure as being the result of whiteness. And that means, in the end, that any victims of whiteness can ultimately blame their own crimes on the systemic racism and racist systems and the whiteness that oppressed them. This is the moral midgetry of the moment, and it's moral midgetry of the tallest order. But this is what you get. When you go in for wokeism, you get this neat and tidy answer to every problem. Never mind that the answer doesn't actually fit the evidence. Never mind that the answer creates more problems than it solves. Never mind that the answer fails to even be coherent. None of that matters. Because the answer is the answer, and if you disagree with it, you're a racist. Friends, without a Christian ethical system, as given to us in the Bible, we cannot survive as a society of rights secured by government. Without a Christian ethical system, this country is going to quickly descend into tribalism as we go, as Tom Wolfe put it, back to blood. Brothers and sisters, God gives us a vision for justice in the Word of God. And God explains the need for justice in the Word of God. The Bible gives us the reason we need justice. The reason we need justice is because men and women are born evil. They're born sinners. And we have a vision of justice. The vision of justice is both political and eschatological. We know how God is going to bring justice in the future. We know how God has brought justice through his son. And we know how God commands human rulers to bring justice in this world. Woke prosecutors like Miss Willis reject God's view of justice and God's view of sin, and they will prosecute cases in like manner. And God help us when they do. As Christians, let's get the word of God out to people. We have an opportunity right now. We have an opportunity to talk about morals, ethics, and justice, and how Jesus, how the gospel is the solution, the real solution to these very real problems. Let's take that opportunity. Let's take the moral midgetry of the moment and use it to talk about morals and the gospel. Let's show people Jesus, the solution to the problems. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to his glory.